It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, the coronavirus has shifted the way of life across the country and here in the Motherlode. And on today's show, we're going to check in with a few local officials about actions taken in response. We will start out with an update from Tuolumne County's interim public health officer, Dr. Eric Sergenko, and then shift over to the impact on schools with Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools, Kathy Parker. And then later in the show, we'll be talking about the economic impact with Cole Prisabilla, Director of Innovation and Business Assistance in Tuolumne County. But kicking things off, we're pleased to be joined by the interim public health officer for Tuolumne County. Dr. Sergenko, thank you for coming on with us here today.
Well, thank you, BJ.
So first off, you're a relatively new voice and face in Tuolumne County serving as interim health officer, but I know you have a unique background when it comes to responding to situations like this. So can you share a little bit about that with the listeners?
Yeah, so I've been your neighbor to the south for about 4 years now in Mariposa County, but prior to that, I was active duty Navy for about 26 years. Became interested in communicable disease and emerging infectious diseases when I was stationed at Naval Hospital Guam in 2004 during the SARS outbreak. And from there, convinced the Navy to allow me to do a fellowship with the CDC called the Epidemic Intelligence Service and worked on pandemic influenza for 2 years there. And then off and on since then have been engaged with emerging infectious diseases being part of the 2009 H1N1 pandemic influenza response, and then my last job in the Navy was as the Department of Defense liaison to the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, and I was there during the times of both Ebola and Zika. So I've been touching with emerging infectious diseases pretty much over the last 16 years.
I know the big news came a couple of days ago that the first coronavirus case arrived in Tuolumne County. You know, once that happened, what were the actions and some of the directives that it spurred into place?
So, to be honest, the febrile respiratory illness health officer's order, which came out the same time as we had the first case, was serendipity, is that we know we had wanted to develop more ability to look for illness in the community because we don't have a already existing influenza surveillance system or other ways of looking for illness in the community. So setting that up gives us in public health a snapshot on a daily basis of what illness is out there. But in regards to the case, that actually went really quite smoothly. Is the patient presented to the to Adventist Hospital, was recognized as a potential case at that point. The provider there did what we asked them to do, which is to test them for exclusionary diagnoses, things like influenza. Those were negative, so they went ahead and tested them for COVID-19. That test got sent down to the San Joaquin Public Health Lab. We prioritized that test based on the concerns expressed by the provider and got a 24-hour turnaround on that. While that was being done, the patient did require hospitalization, but was kept in isolation precautions. And then at the same time, we were able to do contact tracing, that is to find the people who had been in what's called close contact, which is essentially within arm's distance or twice arm's distance for 10 minutes or greater. And that turned out to be actually only one person, the person that she was traveling with. Sort of what's already out in the news, that this is a person who traveled from Mono County, was part of the community-associated transmission that's going on there right now, and really was looking for a place to take shelter. She has a family place in Tuolumne, and so her intent was to self-isolate, but she got sicker and decided to go to the emergency department at Adventist.
God, I know a lot of concerns people that I've heard about were, did I go to the same store that this person may have gone to and so forth, but it sounds like it was pretty isolated as it sounds.
Correct. And she did, she did make some stops, but in talking to CDPH, they were brief enough that they were not of a concern for spread to other people.
You know, how is testing being done locally for COVID-19? Do you have to meet certain criteria to have a test?
So, really, it's down to the clinician to make that decision. We do ask that they look for, what are called exclusionary diagnoses, because if you have something like influenza or strep throat or have what appears to be a bacterial pneumonia, we do know that co-infections with any of those and COVID-19 are extremely rare. But if you've gotten to that point, or your clinician has gotten to that point where they've eliminated those diagnoses, then they do have the option to test. That said, we're finding different things in the logistics chain that impact the ability to test. I think we're building more lab capacity right now, and exciting news that you've probably already heard about is Adventist has their BD Max coming online. That's a testing platform that they were able to start yesterday, and they can do about 20 tests a day right now, and that may increase over time, but that will allow them to do some testing on site with about a 6-hour turnaround time. And so that's great, but what we found is that because we're doing a lot of testing, we run low on Dacron swabs, which is what you need to do the sampling from over the back of the person's nose. And so it's interesting to see where there are the challenges in the supply chain. But that may be, people may not get tested simply because one thing or another is running in short supply, and we're prioritizing towards hospitalized patients or healthcare workers.
Is it pretty much inevitable at this time that there will likely be additional cases down the road as the nationwide has seen more and more cases?
Yes, definitely is. And again, that's what we're trying to do with all the things, both with public health and healthcare delivery, to prepare Tuolumne County for the inevitable. But what I would like to say is we would like to stay in the containment phase as long as possible. That is, where we can do isolation of cases and do tracing of contacts and quarantine those contacts and sort of nip off the chains of transmission. The longer we can do that, the more we'll decrease the surge when it does happen, and the less likely we'll see severe impacts from this pandemic. Again, if we stretch out the containment phase, the mitigation phase, that decreases the sort of peak of cases of patients that will be seen in the healthcare system. It won't reduce the total number, but spread it out over time.
Well, Dr. Sergenko, thank you for joining us this morning. Anything else you'd like to add for the public?
So, same sort of message I always tell everybody is, stay at home if you're sick, wash your hands, cover your cough, stay away from sick people, and don't touch your eyes, your nose, your mouth. We know those are all ways of decreasing the spread of disease. And I will remind people, there is a state health officer's order, which is for the entire state, which is directing people to stay at home except for non-essential travel. That will help us decrease the spread of disease.
Well, Dr. Sergenko, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you, BJ.
Again, that was Dr. Eric Sergenko. He is the interim Tuolumne County Public Health Officer for the county. Coming up next on Motherlode Views, we'll be joined on the program by Kathy Parker, hearing about what's happening on the local education front in response to COVID-19. That's coming up next. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.